You said you had always admired your mother.
Because, well, I say always admired. I grew up so comfortably that since I'd been old enough, I admired her because she enabled us to grow up so comfortably. She made do with things that a lot of women could not have made do with, partly because she was a very skilled craftsman with the needle and with her cooking. She would say, I did only plain cooking, but it was good cooking. It wasn't rich. We couldn't afford rich cooking. It was good cooking. She handled the finances of the family remarkably well. She had a very limited income. She made over clothes for us girls from the time I can remember. Until I was in college, I could almost count on two hands the number of garments I had made out of brand new material. She was so skillful, and yet my sister and I were two of the best dressed girls in school all the time we were growing up, you know. So here was mother who, with all those things, had, she, I suppose, without realizing it, I just adapted and adopted her philosophy and adapted it to my own situation. And she wasn't a Pollyanna. She wasn't always, you know, building up a happiness on a on an unhappy base as far as anybody else was concerned. She may have been in her own mind. So I wanted children. I think some women don't want them, or don't want them when they get them. I mean, don't want them while they're carrying them.
Yeah,
you see, after they get them, yes. But there's a difference between wanting them all the time you're carrying them in how you feel about yourself in relation to them. I would deduce from watching some people who, you know, I know have not wanted to be mothers as soon as they became mothers. And then I know one who had waited 7 years until things would be so they could afford a baby, and then she couldn't have one. Now, whether she could have earlier, I don't know. I know another one who had wanted children, but it didn't seem wise to have them. Her mother was with them, and they were moving around, so they didn't have them. And there was a cyst developed there, and she couldn't have them. So I think it's not wise always to wait until you can afford a child.
From your perspective, do you think women, one, grumble more than they used to, and two, do they have more to grumble about than they used to?
Well, I can't answer that, really, because, you see, the last, well, from the time Goddard was starting, I was up to my ears with Goddard. I was in the library for 11 years. I counseled the whole time. I was in charge of the landscaping and the gardens and the planting. Got where everybody called them my flowers. Helen, have you seen your jonquils yet? Helen, did you know the crocuses were up? And they'd say, your crocuses, and that kind of thing. Well, they weren't mine because I would have work crews, garden crews help with them. But everybody thought of them as my responsibility anyway. So although I belonged to the Parent Teacher Association, and although I belonged to the now defunct Village Improvement Society, which was the women's club. And I belonged to a couple organizations in Barrie and Montpelier, the American Association of University Women, and another one. And, but I didn't see women at times when they would be grumbling, except occasionally at a committee meeting when somebody would grumble. So I can't answer that. I would think that they didn't have as much to grumble about. And my pet philosophical reason for this is they, many of them, are not so involved with the total family. The husband goes to work and comes back, and she knows nothing really about the work. To him it gets humdrum, and he doesn't say anything about it home. He may say, I've had a tough day, or was a pretty good day today, or today I saw John and we talked about this. But by and large, there's nothing about his job he really wants to bring home. Some of the professional men are only too happy to get released from the pressures of the office and don't want to bring it home.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame him. Tim never talked college business when we were home. I never talked public school business because I remember once he said, somebody had asked me about the situation and I said, I don't know a thing about it. And so I said to him that noon, because he could come home for lunch there, someone asked about John's escapade at school today, and I told him I didn't know anything about it. And he said, that's why I didn't tell you, I knew you would be asked. And he said, I thought it would be better if you didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, you see, this is fine from his point of view, and from the point of view of the persons with whom I would come in contact.
Mm-hmm.
But I was out of it that much,
mm-hmm.
you see. So I can see how many women whose husbands are professional men can't touch that part of their husband's life.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he comes home, it's the extra business on her part of keeping him involved with the family and with her
mm-hmm.
and with the community. Now, you go to most any public gathering, and the percentage of women to men is way out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
The men come home from work and they want to stay home. The women have been home all day and they want to go out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And at least this is the way it looks to me. So the women are the PTAs.
Mm-hmm.
The women are the ones that do most of the church work. And you can name a dozen things where it's the women who get much involved.
Interesting. Yeah.
And I think it's this reason. They have been home all day and they want company and they want conversation and things.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas they will be the first to tell you that their husband's worked hard all day and he deserves to read the paper and then go to bed.
And is this in contrast to a previous time when the men were actually working closer around the home?
Well,
just farming or?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you see,
the woman had that contact?
A man couldn't farm without his wife knowing something about milk production and milk prices, because milk prices were up and down more frequently, and she had to adjust any budget that way.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't have a calf at the barn without the news being brought into the house.
Mm-hmm.
If they lost the calf, it affected everybody in the whole family very seriously. So the man's work was very close to the family. And the children learned to take responsibility by working with the father as well as working with the mother. And sometimes the girls worked with the cows and the horses just as much as the boys did.
Mm.
And the boys filled the wood boxes and the boys helped with the garden. And in many cases, boys learned to cook, you know, around the thing. I think it's that there is not as much involvement of the man in the making the house go, the family go, around the family.
I see. So that women really have a right to complain, and you think? Or are they complaining really about the right things, do you think?
I guess maybe I'm ambivalent and certainly in talking about this. I think that there is a change in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
And so a woman has the responsibility of developing her own inner resources that she didn't have time to do when she was washing by hand and ironing with flat iron to heat it on the stove and those things. And I think this is not an easy thing to do, but I heard a young woman say the other day, after I had been telling her about the pre-retirement seminars at the community college, she'd been interested in them because she's working with older people, and anything that leads up to that mm-hmm. is good. And when she got through, she said, well, I've got to go home tonight and begin to think about things that Jack and I can do together. She said, except for our very strong affection for each other and our family and the physical home, I mean, the, he had helped build the home, but that part of it, she said, we had practically nothing in common. And she said, it's up to me to develop interest in his type of activity. Mm. Now, I don't know whether he bowled or not, but suppose he bowled. Then she had reached the point, that just short conversation, mm-hmm. of realizing that she better learn to bowl. Mm. He liked to fish, and she said, I can take my reading, or I can take my camera, and go with him when he fishes, mm-hmm. and not be beside him on the bank, mm-hmm. scaring the fish away, right. But I can be, I can share his fine. Trip and his afternoon out of doors. Mm-hmm. Well, she got hold of this early enough so she can do something about it. Mm-hmm. But the retired people I've been working with in these last 2 years, some of them are finding it pretty difficult mm-hmm. to adjust to the fact that they didn't have that many interests in common. Mm-hmm. One man thinks it's strange if his wife finds time to sit down in the morning. He thought she ought to be doing housework all the time, mm-hmm. you know, kind of thing. And so he thought he was going to be able to sit still in front of the television and be undisturbed. She wouldn't have to clean the living room or anything of that sort. Mm-hmm. But I think, too, that now to get on the other side of this, which I've almost bridged, I think that many of the very young people, now I see there are so many teenage marriages I've been aware of lately, and they have been so exposed to television and advertising and novels, if they've read anything it's been novels, that they think that when they've exchanged marriage vows, everything's going to be rosy. Mm-hmm. Even if their friend didn't find it that way, it's going to be different with them. And then when they begin to work into and work out a marriage, mm-hmm. She's disappointed. Not realizing how much she needs to develop herself as an individual and develop her skills and her resources, inner resources, and how much she can contribute to the community. And, you know, lots of, there are all, there's just all kinds of crying needs. But so many of the very young ones haven't realized they were going to have to recognize this.
Do you think that I can see that you can say that the reasons that one has it as a picture of marriage before one actually enters it are different now than perhaps at the time that you were married?
Yes.
But do you think that you yourself and other women who were married at the same time you did you have unreal expectations of marriage as well?
I don't know about the others, but no, I didn't have any expectations.
Were you particularly mature, do you think? Did you wait a while, or had you kind of...
Well, I had gone through college.
Mm-hmm.
I had, I think one reason might be, you have to go back a long way to find some of these
things.
Well, when I was...
Do you mind me asking this?
Oh, no. When I was in the sixth grade, well, even before then, but I can't remember so specifically before then. But when I was in the sixth grade, in our neighborhood, which included some 7 city blocks, really, a bunch of us were going to school from that area.
What could you just...
This was in Georgetown, South Carolina. There were 3 girls and 7 boys. And so if the boys really wanted to play old cat or anything else, they had to bring in two or three other persons, and the girls were there, so they brought them in. And likewise, if we wanted to play something special, mm-hmm. and if they wanted to play partners in croquet, you had to get in one girl anyway, and you couldn't get in one without calling the other two.
Mm-hmm.
So we girls grew up with boys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't think of them as being different then, or, you know, too different than we were. They were boys and we were girls, and I knew there were differences, but we had awful good times together. Well, and socially there, if it was a birthday party, the invitation would say, on my invitation, it would say, Harold will see you home. Now, Harold was a boy who lived across the street from me. But his invitation would say, we ask you to see Helen home.
Mm-hmm.
And this was because the proportion of blacks to whites was 3-1. And for some reason or other, I never heard of anything happening between the two cultures.
Mm-hmm.
But there seemed to be a kind of a fear that there would. And so no little girl should be on the street after 5:30 without an older person or a boy with her. So I grew up expecting that boys and girls associated, did things together, played together, and even worked together, because when we came to Vermont, we came onto a farm, and my father stayed in the South to work for a while. And so I always loved the outdoors, and so I would help with the haying and the filling the silo and helping with the milking and all that kind of thing. So I worked with boys and men there. We had to have a hired man because my dad was there, and for a while my uncle and cousin Joe were there. So took this, and I went to high school, and I think I can honestly say that neither my sister nor I ever had a crush on a boy. We liked some boys better than we liked other boys. But our girlfriends just drove us nuts. They'd have such violent crushes on boys.
Yeah.
And I know my younger sister said one day, you'd think Theron was a little tin god on wheels, because her girlfriend was so crazy about Theron. So I think that it's out of all of this I grew up feeling comfortable with boys, and not expecting give and take. Now, I don't mean they never held a coat for me or anything of this sort, but that was unusual, sort of. Well, then I got to college, and I transferred from College of Liberal Arts to the College of Agricultural Science at the University of Vermont, and I was the one girl in a class of 22 boys. Well, in classes of, because many classes, the juniors and seniors had together because of the security. And there, when we went pruning, I pruned, but the boys pruned. But I knew the boys as pruners, as persons who could do what I could do, you see, and that I could do that. So I think, really, that it's all this background that led me to expect marriage was going to be a very comfortable being together with the person you wanted most to be with. And by and large, it's turned out.
So again, we're getting back to choosing one's fate in a way, or being prepared to choose one's fate. How old were you when you came to Vermont?
I was 14.
Do you remember any sort of distinctive things that stood out in your mind the first time you came? Were there certain, maybe there wasn't anything that particularly struck you as being different from the life you had lived before?
Yeah, we didn't have the same kind of birthday parties and that sort of thing, little dance parties in homes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you see, I was in high school, and so in the summer, when Norwich University buildings were empty, the crowd of us would arrange what we called a Victrola dance, And we go up to Dewey Hall and take our own records from Victrola and have a nice party up there. And I don't know that we always had refreshments. I think sometimes we did. We played together. We skated, which we couldn't do in the South, of course. We had hay rides and that sort of thing, which we couldn't do. Well, which we didn't do. I suppose maybe small community country children could have sleigh rides, but I never seen any of them pictured in any Southern stories. But again, partly because I suppose that's what I looked for, the boys were little people and weren't little tin guys on wheels, you know. And mother, my sister and I were talking about this the other day, mother would invite the snowshoe club up to our house. Now, our house was a little house. People, the living room wasn't as big as this. And there'd be 30, 35 people coming. We'd bring our own sandwiches and bring our own cups and knife and, well, spoon anyway. And, but mother served baked beans and cocoa. Now, I don't know whether there was any money in the snowshoe club kitty to reimburse her at all, or whether these were things we raised our own beans and we had our own milk. So maybe mother did the whole thing. And she always had a special little table decoration. I remember one time she made a snow hill, and she put, I don't know how she made the little snowshoes. But she had a girl on snowshoes and a boy on skis on this absorbent cotton hill in the center of the table. And this is the kind of thing that made boys love my mother.
Do you think Tim married you for your mother?
No, he didn't, because he didn't know her until after he knew me. But I'm telling you that my older sister, who was 9 years older than I, had a variety of boyfriends as she was growing up, simply because, well, even then, you were supposed to know several before you made a choice. And I've always thought that was good judgment. But anyway, I remember Alice saying that Harry said to her one night, "Alice, if I thought you'd grow up to be like your mother, I'd ask you to marry me." And she was not just with the boys, because the girls used to go home and sleep with us, sleep over, they call it now, while we were in Northfield. We never had room for boys to sleep over, but they'd come up and then they'd snowshoe or ski or slide or what have you. And mother was a sort of an ageless person. She was very happy with older people, but she loved to have young people around. So I guess the picture of marriage I had was not that I would sit around and have everything done for me and everything bought for me and have the finest of clothes, unless I made them. And things like that. I could have the finest of clothes mother had, but mother had made them, kind of thing. So I think I had a very realistic picture. Now, as to whether I was any more mature or not, I don't know. Psychologists have an awful good time with my family, or sociologists do anyway, because we run so counter to things. But to their opinions of what things ought to be, and they would say, probably, that I was lucky that I was the middle girl, middle child. Well, they always seem to think the middle child isn't overprotected or over given heavier responsibilities or something. I'm kind of like Topsy and just grew. Well, the second child in my family didn't live for a day, but it was a second child, so numerically I am the middle child. And whether that has, I mean, I don't know whether that has anything to do with it. It seems to me that both my sisters and my brother are very happily married. And my older sister commented several years ago when I saw her, you know, we're an unusual family. 4 marriages and no divorces.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether we are unusual or not, I don't know. She lived in a larger community, and apparently a lot of people she knew didn't make it go.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was mature, it was because I was started that way from the beginning. I never felt older than other girls. I never felt that I had better judgment than other girls or boys.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I always felt equal to the boys.
Mm-hmm.
But because if a decision was made and I wondered about it, I'd ask about it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that they knew anything necessarily.
It sounds sort of like what you were talking about, the situation in the marriage home, that in some ways you were prepared for what happened when Tim started, got it going, that you were used to lots of people and you were used to people coming and going of different ages. Do you think that helped prepare you?
I have no doubt of it. My mother worked at Maryville College in the college maid shop. She was a member of the faculty.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, but she supervised the girls in their sewing and cutting, and she inspected the garments after they had worked. And that's a place where scores of girls worked their way through Maryville College in Maryville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And Mother worked until her 77th birthday with those girls.
Mm-hmm.
And then she worked another half week each week to earn what she called her tithe money. So she quit when she was 78.
What was the tithe money?
Well, she gave to charities and church and stuff like that. For anything she wanted to give away, she earned with this half day week. Well, I think, maybe she didn't work till her 78th birthday, but she worked until the first of the year. The first of January, which means 4 months. But you see, she'd been with young people all her life.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that helped prepare you for working with young people and daughters?
And I think it kept her young, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope it kept me young.
When you talked about working with retired people, do you feel that you've retired in any way?
I know I have. I mean, now, how do I feel about it? Something else.
Well, talk about that then.
It's given me, given both of us, chances to be choosy about what and when.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I don't have to be at the library at 8:05 mornings a week, kind of thing. And it gives us freedom to be gone if we want to be gone without worrying about what we're leaving. We fix the house up if we're going to be gone a week or two, but I mean, we don't have a lot of responsibilities to take care of. And it has given me an opportunity to get to know better a large group of persons whom I never had had much chance to associate with. For instance, I work in the senior center. I shouldn't say I work in. I'm a facilitator in the senior center in Marshfield. Now, of those persons, I knew only one well. I knew another one casually, and a third one I had met. But the rest of them I have gotten to know and to like very, very much. Then, as a result of being there, I was asked, our group selected me to answer the request of the Reserve Senior Volunteer Program, RSVP, to serve on their council. And there, there are 4 or 5 of us who are retired, working with younger people, working with younger people who are interested in the geriatric field one way or another, mental health, physical health, and mostly those two fields, because we're associated with the Washington County Mental Health Association.